Well, here we are then, another edition of the Midweek Drive.
City dweller, successful fella, thought to himself, oops, I've got a lot of money. Caught in a rat race, terminally. I'm a professional cynic, but my heart's not in it. I'm paying the price of living life at the limit. Caught up in the centuries, anxiety. Yes, it grates on him. Watching afternoon repeats and the 38s in the country. He takes a manner of pills and piles up analyst bills in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm, that's a rural charm in the country. He's got morning glory and life's a different story. Everything's going Jack and Jory. In touch with his own mortality. It's a helping hand that makes you feel good as you're blind. Oh, it's a century's remedy. But the fact that heart start trying simple. Lives in a house, a very big house in the country. He's got a fog in his chest, so he needs a lot of rest in the country. He doesn't drink, smoke, laugh, takes herbal baths in the country. Yes, you come to no harm on the animal farm in the country. In the country. In the country.
Who would have thought Damon Albarn would have been so prescient in terms of the best way to actually deal with social isolation? Distancing. Well, as promised, we have moved from our normal base for the Midweek Drive, normal base of course being in the Siren Radio studio at the University of Lincoln, and we've gone elsewhere to actually bring you the very best, because we are doing that. Of course, it does mean that because of the current challenges, no Midweek Drivettes in the studio. Does that stop us? Of course not, because we welcome Ben Lewis back to the programme. How are you, Ben?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
That's what we like to hear. We like to hear that people are well on this the day where the pandemic is rising. What about this then? Hey, your first full year in full-time employment after graduating in first-class honours of public relations from the University of Lincoln, and you know, here it is, crisis management writ large.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's been one hell of a, well, I'll say a couple of weeks now. It's gone on for a little while, isn't it, really?
And more to come, of course. Although, as we did say, if the season did stop, as far as football was concerned, Brighton would be safe, so good news there.
Thank heavens.
Exactly.
I was beginning to worry.
Yeah, I mean, these are the critical things that are actually there. Listen, you're based in London. You do a lot of work in London. You work for one of the top agencies within London. We outsiders, we get lots of images. We hear that London is coronavirus central. We hear all manner of messages. Obviously, the Prime Minister comes up with his daily news briefings and so on. What's it like? I mean, talk to us. I mean, do you use public transport? Is it a case of no, only if I got a full hazmat suit?
Oh, no. I've been using it every day since. In fact, today's my first day in, I should call it self-isolation, but working from home.
All right.
It's been an absolute, honestly, it feels like an absolute ghost town compared to what it usually is. You know, hardly any tourists, a lot of people are working from home anyway. And then when I have been in town, it's just very quiet. It's still buses and it's still taxis, but no people. There's hardly any people walking around. So it almost feels like sort of the aftermath of a zombie apocalypse.
Mm. I mean, certainly we've been covering this as it's developed on the Midweek Driver. We try to put a positive spin on the whole system, but and if only you can actually sort of have word bingo for the number of times that the word unprecedented is being used by the media across the basis. But clearly there are issues relating to how we go about our day-to-day living. We may never return back to where we've got through. I mean, from the point of view of the University of Lincoln, this has been a week where we've been delivering material online. I've been kind of revamping the PowerPoint slides and the audio lectures, etc. Some brave souls have been using Collaborate and looking to connect on that sort of basis. It's a different sort of area. I mean, is this something that, from your perspective, Ben? I mean, I think it's new territory for all of us. But is this something where you sort of say, "Well, yeah, it was coming." You know, when we travelled on the underground, where we were actually in there, so many sort of people actually packed out. You know, maybe this is an important time for us to, rather than trying to work faster, just to maybe take time out to pause and reflect.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it's allowed us time to reflect and maybe see, perhaps even how we work, but also. Generally, I think hygiene, it's quite interesting, really, that the government has had to put out advice to people to wash their hands, and it's almost like people haven't been washing their hands already. It's all a bit strange, really, but it gives you time to reflect on your actions and perhaps how to minimise risk and minimise, passing it on to other people. It's a very strange world at the moment.
We're using, as I say, a different studio for these particular midweek drives. We're up in, in Teesside. There we are, doing a whole new range of things. Mm. And I noticed that in this, which is one of Western Europe's largest health centres, the James Cook University Hospital, the hand sanitisers are there. But they've actually taken out the hand dryers, or the hand dryers, you know, the air hand dryers that used to be there, and replaced them with traditional tissue sort of paper dispensers. So when you wash your hands, you can no longer have that experience of actually getting it dried by hot air and various other bits and pieces. Unless, of course, you can find a PR expert. Oh, sorry.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I wonder why that is. Is it just to minimise risk of passing it on, perhaps? Or
well, I'm presuming it's because there might be a thought that the virus could be airborne, and that actually running any risk of having it blown off hands, etc., could be problematic. But it was just intriguing. It was something I sort of noted. I will actually check that out.
I can't wait to see Boris's briefing at 5 o'clock then, when the hand dryers will be removed from public buildings.
I mean, it's all very well closing the schools. It's all very well effectively saying don't go to pubs and clubs and cinemas and any kind of social areas. But if the hand dryers have been removed from public facilities, then that's it. You know, we run for the hills, run for that country house.
On the hot air that comes out of my mouth, if anyone needs
that. what a wonderful sort of thing. I mean, that could be a whole new meme that we can actually set up via Facebook, FaceTime, various other things, etc. What about your colleagues? Are they frightened? Are they concerned? Because I mean, I do get a sense that we've already heard that a lot of people are getting very anxious. A lot of people are actually going off social media because they're so anxious. On the show today, or so, we're going to be speaking to William Coles. He's not anxious at all. He basically had somebody who coughed all over him and claimed he actually had some COVID virus, and he sort of reciprocated. But then again, he is in Scotland, so what the heck. Robin Pearce will be joining us from Wales. And Kat, of course, Kat Thomas will be sharing her views about PR challenges before Chloe Rose and Zoe Jameson, of course, wrap up the programme. And we're also going to attempt to go over to Canada to have a chat with a new young adult author called Jenna Green. See the way I seamlessly managed to actually work in the whole contents of the show there.
That was fantastic.
You know, I like to feel that it's still there. But going back to my original question, are you not concerned, because obviously we're all concerned, but is there a kind of fear factor with your colleagues that people are saying, oh no, you know, the slightest cough, you know, that whenever anybody, you know, oh, don't touch your face, and so on and so forth, that there is that kind of mode to kind of press the panic button instantaneously?
I think there is, to an extent. I mean, but the trouble is, I mean, we work in Soho, as you know, and we all have to get the tube in every day. Yeah. We're all having to get public transport in. Yeah. And, you know, you try and be as cautious as we can, but realistically, I don't think it's always going to be 100% effective. And I mean, obviously, we'll try and minimise it in the office where we can. We would, you know, have anti-back wipes, all the rest of it, go down desks and make sure you're careful in disposing of, you know, tissues, all the rest of it. So, it's, you know, there are some things you can do and you can control, but, you know, likewise, there are things you can't control, and you're not always going to be totally secure from it all. So, you're always going to be conscious, especially on the tube, and how close you are to people, and obviously what people are doing themselves, because some people don't really take it very seriously. Like you said with Bill Coles, people have been coughing, you know, outright, like it's nothing. So it's you've always got to be cautious and aware.
And a personal question, Ben. I mean, your parents, do you get calls saying, "Oh, Ben, why didn't you take the job in Norwich?" or various other things?
No. I've not had that yet. No, but I had the opportunity to go home this weekend, but I politely declined for.
Again, big problems, because clearly, I mean, I know by the time this particular production enters the joys of the midweek drive hours, etc., it will pass, but Mothering Sunday, obviously a time where most people would, if their mums are still around and still connected, make some kind of effort to work through that. Now you have to be really so careful, because it's not so much that you might feel okay, but at the end of the day, it's that notion of human beings as vectors transmitting stuff to the rest of the population. So,
Of course. I think it's just about being sensible, isn't it? And wondering yourself whether it's worth it. And I mean, with the fact I've been in the office all week and been around central London all week, I probably don't think it's wise of me to then travel outside of London to take it elsewhere if I do have anything. And I think it's just about being conscientious of other people and also what's going on around you. And so there's not many old people perhaps in central London, but if you go. If I decide to go home, well, there's loads of people who are more elderly and more at risk. Yeah. It's just not worth it. It's really not worth it. And I probably couldn't live without the guilt, if I'm honest, if the fact I could have done something to someone else and perhaps not necessarily been aware of it.
I know, being absolutely trivial about the whole thing, it's often been pointed out, you know, back in the 1940s and 100 years ago, of course, our grandfathers and great-grandparents actually sort of went off to war, etc. We go home and actually watch Netflix. But I certainly think that in terms of the daily briefings, there are issues within that. A year ago, Ben, more or less, we were in an area that obviously was in Sheffield and paying extortionate car parking charges. Yeah, I don't forget Sheffield.
And you could hear the bellows of Brian Blessed.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, I mean, Brian obviously doing his stuff, etc. And at the sci-fi weekend that was there this time around, of course, it is supposedly in Great Yarmouth. I would say it's definitely not going to happen. It's highly unlikely. Sci-fi Scarborough has been cancelled. I would think it's highly unlikely, if only for responsibility, that things that are going there, because it does mean that our usual line, as you know, Ben, you've been on the team for a good few years now. We do a lot of location reports, a lot of outside broadcasts, etc. Countryside links gone or rescheduled until October. The North of England Horticultural Flower Show also gone, cancelled. Lincolnshire Show undecided. That's before we get on to things like the sporting environments and, of course, elements like the Great Yorkshire Show and Glastonbury and the music festivals and so on. I mean, it does seem as though this year in particular, I mean, you know, Formula One has obviously made its decisions and so on. Do you think it's irresponsible, actually, of Sebastian Coe and the Olympic Committee to say, it's going to go ahead, the Olympics are going to go ahead in Tokyo?
I don't necessarily think it's irresponsible at the minute. I think if it was nearer the time, then yes. But I suspect there have been daily meetings... and probably meeting really to discuss, you know, the next steps, and I'm sure they've got a lot of things to consider.
Sure.
I guess it's weighing up the negatives and the positives, really. But
and ultimately, it's all down to PR. So I was listening to Grace Randolph, who runs her own video channel in the States, and she has a wonderful thing called Behind the Trailer, Beyond the Trailer, for film reviews, etc. She said one of the main reasons behind all this is, of course, the L word, litigation, that everybody is so scared that they're actually in that situation. It is a PR exercise that you don't cancel the events because, of course, there are all sorts of other legal ramifications that could be impacting. And clearly, when people's livelihoods and lives, more importantly, are at risk, you don't want to take any chances. Meanwhile, Ben, before we actually let you go, I'll just ensure that the midweek drive promos and logos still get recommended. If I press this button here.
Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the midweek drive
and the midweek drive morning edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman. Affecting an accent.
Genius. Hopefully they're still alive. Wonderful. Well, hail and hearty. I thought you'd appreciate that. Tomorrow on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, we may well be actually hearing, in fact, all being well, fingers crossed, we will be hearing from Fixter, a fantastic organisation that's actually sort of correlating the ways in which cars can be actually sorted out and done and dusted for elderly or chronologically gifted folk, etc., in marvellous, wondrous ways, Ben. So a little heads up on
Wonderful.
That. Tease ahead to that. Of course, if the interviews don't connect, well then, you know, just ignore what I've just said, but what the hey. Any messages, Ben, you'd like us to pass on? Because obviously I will be asking these last two questions because nobody else is going to. For either William Coles, Robin Pierce, Kat, Chloe Rose, Zoe Jameson, because I think you know them all in various ways. Anything you'd like us to pass on
course.
To you?
Well, I hope they all stay safe and keep on keeping on.
Exactly. Eleanor Dean, you don't know, but she will be joining us, I think, to wrap up the show. She's a recent sort of addition from, indeed, the wonderful world of Norwich, which is splendid stuff. Ben, have you had a reasonably interesting and socially acceptable, I think we've been distanced enough, actually, distance between us about 262 miles, so that's okay.
I have indeed, I have.
So the next critical one is, will you come back and join us again in the near future and keep us appraised of how things are going on there in the capital of this great fair land, or as we like to refer to it, Boris's town?
Of course, of course.
Yay!
The Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
We like to think so. Even if we are separated by the miles, the kilometres, or whichever way you actually would like to measure distance in these social distancing times. Isn't that right, William Coles?
Yes. How do you normally measure distance, then?
Well, you know, parsecs, I think, or astronomical units are always good, I find, really. And then, of course, there are always...
Millions of miles,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, you can't be too careful with respect to the current conditions, can you? You know?
Oh, okay, exactly.
I mean, you know, here we are broadcasting from just outside the planet Jupiter. You know, it's very important that things are sorted through there. You're, of course, back in Edinburgh. We've just spoken to fine soul, Ben Lewis, of course, and he's updated us on his experiences working in public relations in the heart of Soho. I know, it's crazy. But he's doing fantastic work there, clearly. But you're at the other end of the country, in a different country, not just that, a different country, similar capital, Edinburgh. When last we spoke, I believe you'd shared with us the tale of how people were coughing over each other. There were various sort of antisocial behaviour things going. Has that improved? Are the Scots now banding together? What's the? I won't ask you for the case on the streets, because presumably you're actually at home now.
No, I'm out and about. I'm giving thanks to the splendid chain of pubs that is Wetherspoon. They are still open. I am still writing in these pubs, and I've got the whole... I'm in a vast place. It used to be a bank on George Street. It's right in the middle of Edinburgh. And I'm about the only person here. There are about three or four waiters and waitresses, and it's just me. It's terrific. I love it.
So you could say, the positive side, single-handedly, you're keeping Tim's chain of pubs going.
I'm trying to tip them handsomely. Yeah. But, I'd have to... I'd have to be spending quite a lot today to justify having these all this staff here trotting around me. But anyway.
Well, I don't know. You could have a pedicure. You could have a manicure. You could probably actually have a couple of other sort of areas to sort of look at in terms of obviously keeping the sense of well-being going. And then, of course, there are obviously consumables to eat and to drink and various other elements too. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have pedicures? I've never had a pedicure, let alone in a pub.
Oh, well, you see, you've got to take the opportunity, Bill, to actually look at ways forward. You know, what are the ways in which we can maybe develop this just a couple of stages further forward? Many of us will need to find new ways of staying in touch with each other and making sure that loved ones are safe. I'm certain we are up to that challenge. You can be assured that my family and I stand ready to play our part. The words of Her Majesty the Queen, of course. Strangely enough, I find a lot more comfort in those particular words than I do from our apparent elected leader of the country. But that, well, the hey, 12 weeks, all over. 11 weeks. When you were writing Dave Cameron's School Days, in your wildest imaginings, did you ever consider or conceive the kind of situation that has now manifest itself as real life that we're experiencing in the United Kingdom?
I certainly thought that Boris might be Prime Minister. He was very hungry from a young age. But this coronavirus, now, I had no conception. I must admit, when it all kicked off about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I thought it was going to be a damp squib. I thought it was going to be like SARS, bird flu, just another little, you know.
This spoken by a gentleman, of course, who said, Brexit, it's not going to happen. It's okay. We're all fine. It's all good.
Exactly. I just thought it was another damp scare story. And what do I know? The whole economy is suffering.
And of course, the other thing is, presumably, you have to deal with young children at home now because they're not allowed in school after this week.
Yes, fortunately, my children are not that young. The youngest is 14, so he can do whatever he likes.
Whoa.
And he's going to be off playing tennis and larking around. He's got to, for 1 week anyway, he's got to be logging in.
Yes.
And the teachers will be teaching him via computers.
Right.
And good luck to him.
I'm endeavouring to do that with respect to one's work at the University of Lincoln as well, which is just extraordinary, really, because, I don't know, somehow you miss that kind of, you know, it's like a live studio audience when you're recording a lecture. But then again, you could say, well, what the hey, talking to a group of people and you can't see their faces, it's just like radio, isn't it? Other things, because you're of an age, Bill, that you probably remember, I think the last
disease, challenge, virus it's been knocked into a whole different league now, but the one which kind of suddenly panicked people and worried people. I mean, you mentioned SARS and avian flu, bovine spongiform encephalomyelitis, BSE, mad cow disease. But probably, dare I say, it was the AIDS, challenges of the 1980s. And of course, should we not actually resuscitate the iceberg video? You know, the tombstone video, you know, except you changed the name.
How did that one go? What happened with that one?
you didn't see the kind of...
I mean, I do remember the AIDS scare, but it sort of wasn't in the same league as this.
You'd have to be really socially close to have actually sort of picked up that. Although, having said that, no, to be fair, and it is a fair point, clearly there were folk who were haemophiliacs and other sort of areas who also suffered from the challenge. But does it also show how fragile we as human beings actually are? That you know, here we are, we maintain through hubris that, you know, we're at the top of the food chain, we've had representatives of the species actually walk on the satellite, i.e. the moon, and yet, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, teeny tiny, a little virus can actually effectively say, ha ha, you know, 12 weeks? Yeah, I'll give you 12 weeks, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, as viruses go,
In the league of viruses.
Yeah, in the league of viruses, it's picking up, whatever, 1 or 2%. Obviously, it's awful, but it could be much, much worse. Imagine if it were, like 100 years ago in the Spanish flu epidemic, when it was 1 in 4, and that would make you sit up. And, so if it were 1 in 4, I wouldn't be messing around in Wetherspoon.
So it's all down to statistical and probabilities. Is that what you're saying, Bill? Ultimately, yes, exactly. Your decision as to whether or no. it's a case of, right, okay.
Yeah, even if I get it, which I doubt anyway, but yes, I've got a sporting chance of surviving the thing. Mm. And, you know, if I get it, I'll have antibodies so that I won't catch it again when I am in my 70s.
Although, having said that, the thing about viruses is that they never really leave us. They can kind of re-emerge in times where we least expect to, and usually where we get run down. Which brings us to the other point. Is this... part of the sort of response has been to work harder, work harder, work harder, work harder, and so on. Is this not also nature's way, Mother Nature's way of sometimes saying, look, you know, sometimes you human beings, you forget the joy of living, you forget the joy of simply being, maybe you need to just take time out. And I'm thinking about when you took the Spanish pilgrimage a year or so ago, etc., that sort of time where, you know, maybe we need this, and if you get locked into that, you know, literal hamster's wheel of constantly on, maybe you actually forget that your life is a precious gift and we need to actually acknowledge it?
Yeah, sure. We are being forced off these hamster wheels that we've been scurrying on.
Yeah.
And I've got quite a lot of mates who are licking their lips because their children are at university and they're all coming back home for a month. And it's just, wow, they can't believe it. And they, well, it's early doors, obviously, but they're really looking forward to having their kids around them, like Christmas, but without having loads of family over, just your nearest and dearest.
We've been trying to actually point some of those wonderful silver linings in the cloud as actually was heading off through that process. I must admit, though, it does confirm my intuition. The reason I needed to actually go and come and see you earlier in January is before not just the metaphysical border comes down, but also the virus border as well. So I was delighted at least we managed to get that ticked off. Because who knows when or if we'll ever be able to actually do location reports again. I mean, you know, we were quite glibly talking about, yes, March, we'll do something with respect to Anik and the biggest second-hand bookshop in the entire planet. We'll go there. We'll sort of, it's not going to happen, Bill. Sorry, I've got to break that news to you. You know, I am not going to be travelling up to Anik and expecting us to do a midway sort of process. It's just not going to work. But, you know, that's why thinking needs to be seen as the best way to travel. What would your advice be, William, as we close this particular thing for people who are listening to this midway drive and thinking, great, you know, it's fine. You know, we've spoken to to Ben Lewis, so up to upcoming Robin Pierce. We've got Kat Thomas joining us with respect to more PR challenges that she's faced with within the music industry. Chloe Rose will be reporting in, and of course Zoe James and our vet will also be communicating with us. So what would be your thoughts and font of wisdom from the bottom of your heart, Bill?
Well, this is a crazy moment in British history, which we will never forget in our lifetimes. And so savour the moment. I mean, there are a lot of not great things about it, but a lot of good things too. Reconnecting with your family and what's important in life.
Yep. And of course, reading all those William Cole's novels that you've been putting off and saying, you know, I think the majority of your work is actually online, so people can actually access all sorts of things. Just type in William Cole's.
Yes. Yep.
So it's there. You don't even have to leave. As long as you've got an internet connection of some kind, you can actually get it downloaded and just go for it. And that's certainly what I'm intending to do. So clearly I could ask the invisible, Midweek Drivettes in the studio. There's nobody here, unless there are invisible friends, of course, those last two questions, but I'll need to put them to you because otherwise it would just get silly. William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I'd love to, just as I always do. Thank you.
So, can we look forward to connecting with you again, probably similar time next week?
Yes, look forward to it. Thank
Yay!
You.
Now it's
solid!
Right, too. Now, that's guarantees to get your toes tapping wherever you happen to be in any way, shape or form. We've been clearly to the heart of London. We've spoken to Ben Lewis in Soho. We've moved up to Edinburgh to actually keep the home nations happy and actually found out what William Coles is doing. I know he's outside. He's actually, look, you know, it's William Coles doing what he does, etc. And we've had his thoughts of positivity. And so we move over to Wales now to connect with our ace correspondent and leader writer from Starburst magazine, host of Piercing the Veil, and indeed regular all-round fine soul. That would be Robin Pierce. How are you, Robin?
Hello there. How are we?
Excellent.
Are we well? Are we cough-free?
Well, you know,
in the demilitarized zone.
I'm in the northern outbreak or northern outposts of Siren, actually even further away, I think, than I normally am from you, Robin, because I'm about 126 miles north of Lincoln, which is around about, I think, probably maybe 300 or 400 miles away from Wales. So,
do you want me to pack up the 4x4, the Blue Thunder, trek across the cursed earth from Megacity 1 to Megacity 2, where you are, a la Judge Dredd,
yes,
for a rescue mission?
I think we're okay, but who knows what could happen, because we've got a whole range of little new features that we're introducing in this it's the midweek drive, yes. It's still going out on Wednesday, yes. We'll have various other things there. We'll still have the midweek drive morning edition as well.
Drive Cursed Earth edition.
Yeah, you could say that. Exactly. That's very true. It's interesting. I used to have a debate with my mum about that, because I used to say Cursed. She said, there's no acute accent. It's the Cursed Earth. It should be the Cursed Earth, not the Cursed Earth. We had a lot of debates about that. I then actually sort of trumped up by saying, actually, Mum, it's not pizza. It's pizza, not pizza, okay? So just, you know, that sort of basis. So pronunciation can be very challenging at the best of times.
We had actually the same kind of thing here, because my wife, Maria, became a Pilates instructor.
Oh, well, there's
and
pilots.
I used to wind her up by
exactly.
Pilot.
Clearly, Pontius Pilate.
And
what's that?
She came into the room where I was watching a movie with Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow, and she absently asked, you know, after months of winding her up,
it's Pirates of the Caribbean, obviously.
Pirates of the
Caribbean. Yes. Yeah. Anyway,
that was our talking done for a while.
In case people are wondering, but how, given these new changes, will Robin ever be able to actually give his particular award for the most valuable contributor to the programme? Well, don't worry, because what will happen is, as this is released, as this programme goes out on the 25th of March on FM, and assuming all's well, it will also be available for download and podcasts, that will continue, so worry not. Then the week after, Robin will actually sort of give us the results and the thoughts on the previous show, which, of course, you can then listen to. So it's like a double joy of critiques, basically.
Hang on a second. It's not in the contract that I've got to listen to myself. Bad enough hearing me the first time around if you're on the other side of me.
You could always fast forward, just download it and just fast forward through that particular piece.
Yeah,
you know, there's that line. Anyway, another new feature, Robin. It's called The Wonderful World of TV Theme Tunes. And a qualifier, because I forgot to mention that another silver lining about, of course, this grand scenario that we're faced with, etc., is that the Horror Channel have actually started screening each evening this. Which, of course, is what, Robin?
The Time Tunnel, music by Johnny Williams, an Irwin Allen production, starring Robert Colbert and James Darren.
Exactly. James Darren, of course, who went on to work with William Shatner in T.J. Hooker, where he was the he was the companion, I think, to Stacey's cop on the beat, whilst Adrian Zmed as Romano obviously worked with Bill Shatner.
I always thought that Adrian Zmed was actually kind of a Darren clone. you know, even to the hairstyle.
Well, actually, I mean, Adrian did a few shows with me back in the, actually it's 20th century now. In fact, sadly, the agent who actually put us in touch together, she's sadly passed on. One of the few midweek drivettes who's headed off into various other things. But, yeah, it was, we never really managed to sort out why Officer Romano didn't actually stick around for the final season of Hooker. But anyway, he did say. And
it's kind of like asking why Garrett Wong was never promoted on Star Trek Voyager.
So true.
The thing he's very bitter about, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, Hikaru Sulu has had to deal with never getting his series called Excelsior. So in the same way.
No, but he did become a captain.
This is true, yeah.
He ended up on the Excelsior.
Yeah. And, of course, James Darren, before people actually say, yes, but he was also Vic the lounge singer in Deep Space Nine. Yes, I know. He was sorted through a wonderful thing there. Anyway.
Also a cyborg on Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
This is exactly so, which I was, funny enough, watching this very morning in terms of psyching myself up for this whole system. And I thought I'd treat myself to the fourth season of Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and it was specifically taken with the joys of abominable snowman.
They don't make them like that anymore.
The genetic alterations of trying to actually make the Antarctic a much more tropical, temperate climate, and thereby almost boiling the seas of the Earth, and then changing your genetic lines, etc., so you do become a man in a white suit looking even less real than the Mugatu in the Star Trek episode featured the Mugatu, which of course was a private little war.
And the Mugatu was itself a throwback kind of
Outer Limits
to not only Outer Limits, but a beast that Larry Buster Crabb battled in 1936 in Flash Gordon, the multi-chapter movie serial
released
on DVD as Space Soldiers, because it's in the public domain. And the only reason that they could release it in the public domain was because it had been rejigged a little bit, the title sequence, to Space Soldiers from Flash Gordon, because when it was sold to the TV in the late 50s, there was already another TV series called, guess what, Flash Gordon.
And so it goes. And it has brought us around to what I'm going to refer to now as the Pierce Challenge. PC.
Okay.
PC for PC, the Pierce Challenge.
Okay.
Each week, given that we're not sure what's going to happen with respect to the International Olympics Committee, don't worry, Robin, it's not about sport.
Okay.
We're going to offer you the chance, because you did so well with respect to the qualifying round there, instantly identifying the time tunnel. We have got a range of TV theme tunes that we will actually be beaming down to you from that point of view. Curious enough, this week, all starting off with... there is a kind of commonality, really, after a fashion. You need to choose at this stage. Do you want to go for bronze, in which case we'll play you three tunes? Do you want to go for silver, in which case we'll go for four? That's obviously you need to get all four right. Or do you want to go for gold and have all five theme tunes and attempt that? Is it going to be bronze, silver, or gold?
Well, so that I can get a feel for this, it's got to be either bronze or silver. I'm not going to go for gold straight out of the game.
Okay, that's...
I know how devious you can be.
Oh, yes. Look, you know, I was umming and ahhing. I mean, I didn't run this past Paul Mount's debut. I was very tempted. I thought he does a column called TV Zone. I could actually drop in a few, but I thought, no.
Well, balls in counselling now.
That's it, please. It's a fine show. I mean, one of these days I will actually manage to work out how on earth I can easily actually download it. I mean, I can download your podcasts, Piercing the Veil, no problem whatsoever. When it comes to the fab podcasts and indeed the TV Zone things, it's almost as though a computer continually says no.
Oh, dear.
Because I'm not Apple Mac, you say, but
am I? Neither am I.
Anyway, okay, you've gone for bronze. What we'll do then is we'll play some short excerpts, because we're not going to play all of these, short little clips of three TV series. Actually, they're all 20th century, so you might have a chance with this.
Set in the 20th century or made by 20th century Fox?
No, all in the 20th century. No. And they're also, we have, I'll give you another clue, two are British, one is an American. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I shan't say any more. I will just kick the thing off, starting off with this. And that, as they say, is your lot. As I pointed out, not a great deal there, but how did you do with respect to that particular batch of three?
The last one, I have no idea.
Oh.
None at all.
Okay.
But I have a feeling that I'm going to be kicking myself when you tell me.
Okay.
I would...
But this first one, of course, which was up there now, you can hear it in the background. What was that?
Highwayman, I think.
No!
Not Highwayman.
No!
Oh!
It's the theme to Absolutely Fabulous. Situation comedy.
It's going to be sci-fi series.
Yeah. All right. How do?
I've never actually watched Absolutely Fabulous.
So this is the no. You got to. You can't. Yeah. What about this next one? Surely this is a done deal.
Oh, that was Black Beauty.
The Adventures of Black Beauty.
Yes.
Not as far as I'm aware, a science fiction program. But you never know. Probably.
I thought that was the ringer that you were throwing me in the middle of the sci-fi.
No.
I may have overthought this.
Yeah. Remember, you know Bradley Walsh on The Chase sometimes actually says, "Go with your first instinct. Go with that." You know, it's amazing. Of course, you know, things like The Chase.
Absolutely Fabulous. I'm sure I heard something about Wheels on Fire going down the road.
Yes,
and I was thinking, oh, Sam Jones,
of course,
and the cab begins a helicopter.
Yeah, no, no.
Ha-ha, Alex Lefchuk, I thought.
Yeah. And this one, of course. Do you want a few clues?
Okay.
To help you, because otherwise it's... you got one. Hey, one out of two. It's clue number one, Harrison Ford. Clue number two, Supergirl. Clue number three, Cat Grant. In Supergirl. How are we doing?
We're doing really badly.
All right.
I lived in a bubble before coronavirus.
Okay. Clue number four, Dancing Babies. Ooga Chaka. No. Nope.
You've been tapping into my nightmare.
It is the theme to Ally McBeal.
Okay. I never saw that.
Calista Flockhart burst onto the scene there, and people said, Calista, you're far too thin. But anyway, she's since then obviously appeared in Supergirl and married Harrison Ford, of course.
She's married to Harrison Ford?
Yes.
Heavens, I didn't know that. I'm not one for celebrity gossip.
No, this is not gossip.
Or in this case, celebrity substantiated fact.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway,
I'm bewildered.
Bear in mind, Robin, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Okay, so
my head is held down in shame.
No, I mean
I've got what 7 days now until I can actually watch the entire televisual content of the 20th century.
Well, some might be 21st century. I'm not going to rule out the 21st century.
You beast, sir.
I just thought, you know, in deference to, obviously, the virus's tendency to actually seek out some of the more chronologically gifted folk, I'd actually go 20th century. But I thought you might have got Ally McBeal. I did think
that.
Did
you just call me chronologically gifted?
Of course, exactly. Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, thought so.
It's the first time anybody's ever called me that.
Well,
it's old.
No, we don't use the O word here.
Yeah,
it's a definite non-starter from that point of view.
I was a bit put out this morning because we went to the supermarket on a foraging run, and I was informed...
Take your hands off that toilet roll now. Stop it.
I was actually informed that I could qualify to come in earlier because...
Yeah. Because you're a
vulnerable.
Senior citizen, exactly. You're a vulnerable person.
Vulnerable.
Come to the quiet hour. Come to the quiet
vulnerable.
Hour. Yeah. It's no use wearing Kiss t-shirts and wearing Green Lantern and pretending that you're down with the kids. No, you're seen as a vulnerable soul. That's why we love you, Robin. You know. I mean, Eloise Sheehan. I'm not sure. Eloise Sheehan will be sort of very impressed with that if she ever gets around to listening to this. I don't know whether she will.
Eloise Sheehan will be giggling at that last thing that we said.
Well.
Me vulnerable.
Well, up next, all being
indignant.
Up next, we'll be speaking to Kat Thomas, our PR soul, and then we're going to be joined, hopefully, by our author of the week, who's basically on the east coast of North America. She's a young adult author called Jenna Green. She'll be making her debut on the show, all being well. Let's hope the international connections work as well. Chloe Rose is back with us, and so is Zoe James, and then we wrap up with Eleanor Dean. That's as far as this first, I'd say, distance learning edition of the Midweek Drive is coming from.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it's a way forward from that perspective. So going well so far, but it does mean with nobody else actually in the studio, obvious reasons, in our studio, separated, as we said, by quantum leaps of time and so on. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme, Robin Pierce?
It's been a refreshing break, Alex.
Will you be back with us again probably some of the time next week?
Yes, please.
Halcyon moments from the 1980s, well, 1980s, as opposed to the 1990s, but they were coming to Lincoln as well, but they're not now. Bucks Fizz, now reformed as the Fizz, or these three of them have. And I suspect, highly suspect, that our next wonderful co-host, who's connecting with us on this special series of the Midweek Drive from studios in different parts of the world, will probably have never been to a Bucks Fizz concert. Is that right, Kat Thomas?
I most definitely have not.
Yeah, you see, I mean, this is it. You see, I was there at the Dominion Theatre in 1982, and I thought they were outstanding. You know, it might have been 83, 84, because, of course, it was 82 when they actually had the Eurovision Song Contest win. How tragic is that? No Eurovision Song Contest!
Long time ago. And, of course, Eurovision isn't happening this year.
No.
It's a victim of everything that's been going on. Yeah. So, how sad.
And just when we were all set to see, I wonder if Brexit would have any political impact whatsoever on the number of people who actually gave us 12 points from other parts of Europe.
Exactly. We'll never know.
Never. Not in this dimension. Never. Put to one side. Little update in terms of what we've been doing on the show so far. Obviously, Catch, you can listen to the whole thing when it is released in all magical ways on the 25th of March, or indeed earlier online, if you wish. But we spoke to Ben Lewis, of course, in London, in Soho, the Mad Fool, and his wonderful sort of things that he's getting through at present. William Coles had some interesting views from Edinburgh. Robin Pierce, of course, was still getting to terms with the fact that he's now classified as vulnerable when he goes to the supermarket. Never mind. I know. It's rage against the darkening of the light. Do not go meekly into that light, to paraphrase various sort of poets and so on. And Kat, public relations, certainly look after public relations in terms of the music industry and more. Is it a case of you're just saying, well, that's it then? If we don't do video link, I don't want to know.
Do you know, it's pretty much like that. We've all got to get used to a new way of working, haven't we? Mm. I mean, for me personally, it's fine, because I've always been working remotely from my clients. And obviously, I go and see them when I can, but most of the work I do is in my office. So for me, it's not unusual to be working on my own for long periods of time. But of course, it's very different with me not now being able to go out and visit my clients.
No.
So of course, there is some adaptation.
Run away, they say.
Yes, exactly. Social distancing. Yeah. We've all got to do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it impacting as yet? Because, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, in terms of your roster of clients and so on, I mean, clearly theatre's going dark, the music industry decimated, the whole sequence of obviously concerts, festivals. I mean, we were actually scheduled this very day to start promoting a music festival with another agency, Manila PR. Yes, there are other PR agencies available, I know, but I mentioned that. And Tony McDonough, but he said, no, the idea was we were going to produce a series of podcasts in the run-up to the festival, which was scheduled for May. It's in Grade 8 and lots of sort of things there. He's just had to say, no, it's not going to happen. And, you know, from your point of view, clearly, I suppose, I mean, I had the slightly unnerving experience yesterday of watching a video that had pretty much been sent out by Gal Gadot, featuring Amy Adams and a number of other Hollywood souls, basically crucifying, I think, John Lennon's Imagine. But, you know, is it a case of... that's what FaceTime is for, that actually now we want to have people doing concerts? I mean, we've heard of choristers and choirs who are actually training by actually having their activity sort of on screen, etc. We've had children's groups who've been producing sort of activity things. Is that the way? Because somehow, and call me old-fashioned if you will, Kat, I just don't think it's quite the same, really. You know, I just, you know,
I mean... Oh, it's not, is it? I know, I even saw yesterday on the news about somebody doing a whole sort of session for young children, doing their sort of, like, hands, knees and toes routine.
And yes, exactly.
It just doesn't work the same.
Well, I just thought, exactly. And, you know, because ultimately... I suppose if you had the technology which could give you 3D holographic representations in the room, and you actually had that simulation, which may be where we're heading for, of course, assuming we don't get infected or hacked by various other computer viruses, then maybe we could actually go along with that. But somehow I just thought, well, if it's on a screen, no matter how detailed or technical the screen actually happens to be, I can never get my head around the new sort of line which enables you to have an exercise bike and basically have a coach coaching a whole range of people online at the same time.
It's mad, isn't it? You see, the trouble with communications, of course, it's not just about seeing somebody in a 3D format. It's about all those other non-communication skills, that are body language, the way somebody moves, the intonation of their voice, and there's so much that is lost, isn't there, when you're trying to rely on technology.
Exactly.
No matter how brilliant it is.
The fact that here I am in a radio studio dressed as an abominable snowman, it's never going to happen. You know, I mean, the temptation to obviously put that as like, you know, I got all the fur and everything, the full hazmat suit thing, I got the horn on the top, it's just not going to work, you know. I put it down to the
fact.
I've
got a great vision of you now, though.
Yeah,
Alex.
Well, don't go there, Kat. I've told you.
No,
you know,
just
stay with the notion of the Donny Osmond cap, okay? That's all I say. Stay with that one. all will be well on that basis. Yeah,
much
exactly.
Safer.
So we've been asking people, as this is the first show of this kind that we've actually done, I mean, you know, the likelihood is maybe just 12 weeks of them, but who knows? But we'll continue for as long as we can within this whole area for people's views and thoughts and lines to the listener in any way, shape or form. What kind of bit of positivity can you provide for us, Kat Thomas, in terms of your thought on the current situation or anything else, really?
Well, I think we will adapt really well. I think a lot of people, it's been a bit of a shock for. Obviously, we've had to think about the bigger picture and the implications worldwide on, you know, with this terrible disease. But I think we will adapt as we always do. We're human beings, and that's what we're good at. So I think we will adapt to the new ways of working, new ways of living. And I think as long as we're conscious of what we're doing, what we're saying, and making sure that we think about other fellow humans, then I think we will all get through this okay.
Do you really need 42 bottles of hand sanitizer? It's not good.
Personally, I don't. And I think that's the sad thing, isn't it, that people have actually forgotten their place in society. They have been looking very selfishly at sort of going out there and going mad, really, with this hoarding of stuff, which is probably not necessary. I think the difficulty that we've got, actually, is nobody really knows what the consequences are going to be at the moment. And so you can understand that there is elements of fear in society, and you can understand that some people are going to be panic buying or doing things that are out of character.
But they shouldn't, Kat. They shouldn't. You know, it's not...
No.
I mean, yeah, all right, let's assume you've actually, you're one of those people who's basically got 160 rolls of toilet paper. Oh, that's the Prime Minister. Oh, sorry, no, never mind. but if you look at the news headlines, but if you actually have, once that's gone, is it really going to be worth it, you know, in the long term? Especially when most newspapers would suffice just as well, just a thought.
Well, anyway. They did in the war years. They had newspapers, so we adapt and we find new ways, as I said.
And of course, at least we don't have any bombs dropping as yet. So as yet.
Yeah. So, no, I'm sure that we won't. I mean, it's a different kind of war that we've got going on, isn't it? And I'm sure it's the first of many different kinds of situations that people have to face in their lives. Lifetime, but extreme though it is, you know, it's a difficult thing.
Kat, we need to move on because otherwise we're never going to get across the Atlantic in time, and we've got to start swimming at this particular time and moment in all sorts of ways. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It has been absolutely wonderful, thank you.
And we haven't had a chance really to promote any of your clients, but feel free in the near future if you'd like to make use of this particular slot and time to actually do that. I'm sure we'll speak again. Will you come back on the show?
Of course I will, Alex.
You rip me up, you spread me all over.
ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman, affecting an accent.
Interesting news is we did actually manage to get across the Atlantic Ocean and leave a message on the voicemail for Jenna Green. Maybe it's too early. could well be too early. I think it's around about 7 a.m. in the morning. But what the heck? Or maybe even early. What's time? It's just a meaningless construct. But the great news is that as we continue ever onwards in this, the second hour of the Midweek Drive, we're delighted to welcome back to the show Midweek Drive at extraordinaire, extraordinarily talented soul. She is Chloe Rose. How are you, Chloe?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be back on the show, Alex.
Well, exactly. It seems like only a week ago, and look, there it is, bang, you're straight in there again. It's amazing. It's just astounding, really. So we've talked at length, as you might imagine, Chloe, about the corona scenario, the COVID-19 and so on. We spoke to, obviously, you kicked off the show by going down to London, speaking to Ben Lewis, then William Coles, then Robin Pierce, then, of course, Kat Thomas. We're now with yourself. Because, you know, you can take London, you can have Edinburgh, you can have Cardiff, you can have all the sort of Welsh things, but clearly the general public want to know globally, what's the situation in Cleethorpes?
Well, you know, I've just heard it, the update at the moment is that there's a case, the first confirmed case in North Lincolnshire. So, the North East, so, oh dear. Things are materialising slowly, but, I mean, all I can just suggest is people stay safe. You know, wash your hands. You know, if you need to speak to anybody, speak to them on the phone. It's
as we're doing now. You see, there's a reason for why we're putting this whole process together, and why indeed, depending on success, etc., we might indeed look to actually develop sound and Chloe's vision via the telephone systems. I might go to a landline if we've got one available, but what the hey, you know, in terms of actually getting that message out there, that you can do it. You can even produce good quality radio by social distancing. We are actually social distancing at present, Chloe and myself, by, let's just quick calculation, 88 miles. I am a studio 88 miles away from your good self, further north. Gosh. But there we are. Yeah, I know, strange, isn't it? But there we are. So clearly this thing also has an impact in terms of your day-to-day work as a singer. I suppose, yeah. No, as we said last week, you know, in terms of the songwriting, you can obviously still songwrite the whole system, and you can still continue to write songs and so on. So how's that going, Chloe?
Well, the songwriting is very good. I'm quite excited about that. So I've been able to sort of take time to do that. But I think in terms of just being in the industry, in the music industry, especially contracts abroad, there's a lot of people like myself that they've had gigs cancelled. They're not able to travel, say, on the cruises. So it is a difficult time, especially the sort of art sector is very much affected at the moment, with like borders being shut down, and that, you know, all I can suggest is just make the most of your time. Like I'm doing, just, you know, just write music if you write music, watch Netflix if you can, catch up on that. I mean, that's just the main thing, really.
There are all sorts of other magical things you can actually get to. And I mean, we could actually do a little promotion for the author that we had hoped to be connecting with us. It's a new young adult fantasy writer called Jenna Green. Official line was A Fate Worse Than Death, Lethbridge, Alberta, influenced by the illness and subsequent death of her mother. Young adult author Jenna Green pens the first in a new series, Reborn. In this coming-of-age fantasy, Lexil discovers through the marks on her skin that she is a reborn, someone who has lived before. Because of this and the intricate mythology of the world, she is sold at auction and forced to become a slave. So you see, Chloe, it could be a lot worse, you know, in addition to the virus. If you were sort of suddenly discovered to actually have magical powers and then were sold at auction and forced to become a slave, that's not going to be good, is it, you know?
It's not great. It's not great news at all. But, you know, that does sound quite interesting. I like things like that, Alex, you know.
Well,
quite fancy reading it myself.
Well,
you know?
I think we will go for that reborn thing very shortly, and I'm sure as and when we do get through to Jenna. I mean, you know, sometimes when you dial a number and you communicate with folk from that point of view, you think, have I dialed the right number? But it actually did say on the voicemail box, this is the voicemail box for Jenna Green. So I think it was fairly safe to say we did actually dial the right number. That's all I can say.
Good.
Anyway, if you're listening to this, Jenna, you must come on the show again, and I'm sure we'll reschedule times and various other factors for that point of view as well. In fact, Jenna would probably return to the programme. So we talked, I think, of what might have been our last studio experience, where we were very, very brave, very bold, Chloe, because we were both actually in the same studio space for 4 hours of magical stuff, you know. 2 hours of Midweek Drive, one sound in Chloe's vision, one inspired on air, and so on. Midweek Drive Drive is obviously out and available, downloadable sound. And Chloe's Vision is also, actually, if you want to, downloadable as well. So if you want to actually hear Chloe's first ever official interview, it's there, out there. Oh. Unless you want to wait until it actually goes live on Siren Radio, which will probably be April the 1st. It's still right. It'll be after midday. It's not an April Fool's thing. We're not going to tease things with that. In theory, it should be April the 1st, just after 5 o'clock. So kind of in the first hour of the Midweek Drive, because next week we're changing things around a little bit again, and we'll settle down beforehand. And although this particular week it's a full Midweek Drive show, as best as we can do, then next week it'll be a kind of 1 hour of Midweek Drive and then an hour of Sound and Chloe's Vision. Like, you know, two peas in a pod bumping together in a kind of audio happiness. It's great. Well, I quite like that image, but what the heck. So, Chloe, from your own point of view, what else is happening in terms of obviously doing with a singer-songwriter? I mean, is it a case now you sort of think, should I go outside or shall I just stay in my room like some kind of angst-ridden teenager of the grunge era?
Well, this is what I'm thinking, you know, Alex. I just don't know what to do with myself because I'm the type of person, I mean, a lot of people love the food, you know, and that's great. And I love my food.
You can't eat and eat, though.
I enjoy going outside.
Exactly, yeah, you've got to have a balance of that.
What do? Do I order a takeaway? But then if I order a takeaway...
It's not very healthy, is it?
My dad's argument is it's not.
Exactly.
Because people will sort of bring it to the door, and then people touch leave it. So what do?
Exactly. And you don't know what procedures the thing could have been going through. And actually, I'm sure your dad will be actually in the line of growing his own vegetables before too long and actually saying we need to have a little allotment so we can grow our own vegetables and get really sorted
out. Absolutely.
Tomato plants are always quite good to start off with, I find. Yeah, that's an
initial
line.
I do like tomatoes, especially with mint on. Mint's really nice. So baby tomatoes, mint. Yeah. Add that on, it's very, very nice.
Interesting. As opposed to mints, of course, which is something completely different. Yeah. Chloe's culinary tips. William Sitwell will eat his heart out for that thing. There is, of course, the opportunity, I suppose. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Gal Gadot video that's gone across the globe, really, where she... I mean, I was a bit harsh earlier when I said together with Amy Adams and various other sort of singers and contributors almost crucifies John Lennon's Imagine. But I suppose you could always sort of set up a kind of sing-along with Chloe online, couldn't you?
Oh, I would love to do that. You know, you're giving me some good ideas, actually, Alex. Maybe this should be...
Chloe, you know me well enough by now to know that it's always important to actually keep coming up with those ideas and going from that sort of thing. So sing along with Chloe, I think, could be a winner, personally. I just sort of... You could have it. You could ask the huge and growing number of rosettes that are out there. See what I did there? Rosettes.
Oh, I like that. I do like that a lot.
What sort of things did they have any favourite songs, etc., favourite things you'd like to cover for them, etc., and then you could actually have a sing-along of Chloe where you could invite them to submit their own little... I mean, not the whole song, just literally a short clip of the song. Yeah, maybe just a one line, etc., and kind of move on that basis. Oh, just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, there is opportunity, isn't there, for artists now to do a live feed on Facebook or Instagram. That's another thing we can do with performance as well.
You can keep that performance real and happening just as we're doing it now.
Exactly.
And as we're about to head off to hopefully speak to our veterinary student Zoe Jameson, and then we'll hopefully squeeze a little touch of Eleanor Dean as well. It has been awesome, Chloe, connecting with your good self. We will be. I think it's. I mean, how has it been for yourself, Chloe? You know, all that way away in Cleethorpes, which may or may not have had its first confirmed case of the virus somewhere in North Lincolnshire. Have you enjoyed the last few moments?
I have. I definitely have. I mean, I had a fantastic time when we pre-recorded the show for Sound and Chloe's Vision, and that was good to do that. But it sort of, I think with times like this, it makes you appreciate, you know, the people you know, the friends you've made. And I think that's important to take away. You've just got to make the most of every single day. And it just shows, because things like this happen all the time. But you've got to keep positive. That's the key. Keep happy, keep positive. Things will get better, hopefully, fingers crossed. I think they will. I really do. I just think everyone's got to stick to, you know, what we've been told and just try your best to stay safe. But keep smiling, And enjoy your day, whether that's Netflix, whether that's reading a book, whether that's, you know, there's lots of things.
I think
you
it's probably worthwhile, Chloe, also mentioning that there are other streaming services available. I mean, you got your Amazon Prime, you got your Disney Plus, you got your various other, you got your BritBox, you got your ITV, exactly.
Very good.
You know, so it's all happening on that sort of basis. And a sort of a little minor caveat as well in terms of when you said what's the takeaway here. That's they're going to be a healthy takeaway. It's not a delivery takeaway. It's a kind of this is what
absolutely
we need to take away.
Healthy takeaway. There is restaurants near my area now. Usually people go in, have the food, but they're doing takeaway services and they do like carveries, you know, cooked dinners. The food's amazing there, but they're doing that now. So I think, oh, I might fancy that myself.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Chloe, as I said, it's been awesome connecting with your good self. Are you up for doing it all over again in about a week's time?
Absolutely. You ring me up, I'll be on the other end of the line.
I mean,
I'm sorry, I won't be in the interview room. It's never the same, is it? You know, when we're in the studio and we're all sat together. But then it's still good. We've still got good vibes, haven't we?
I'm speaking to you, Chloe, from a radio studio, and I'm looking at a guest chairs, and about four guest chairs, and a microphone's actually there. And there's just invisible friends there, basically. But you're there, and the listener's there, so we'll keep on going from that point of view, and that's the important thing. So we will continue to develop the best of the best. And I think, we will look at putting a sound and Chloe's vision together in this way in which we are literally socially distanced.
Yes. I'm very excited about this. It's safe, but it's also still fun.
It's safe, but entertaining. That's the important thing.
Exactly. And there will be biscuits on my side of the line.
Well, that's,
and maybe chocolate biscuits on your side. Because honestly, I love my chocolate biscuits. Yeah.
Well, I mean, clearly a bit of chocolate biscuit. Even it's always worthwhile going from that point of view. Chloe, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Be happy. We'll speak next week.
Oh. You too, be happy, stay safe, and sending love to everybody. Just keep it safe.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. It was a big, big world, but we thought we were bigger, pushing each other to the limits. We were learning quicker by 11, drinking, burning. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady figure. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely. Once I was 11 years old. I always had that dream like my daddy before me. So I started writing songs, I started writing stories. Something about that glory just always seemed to bore me. Cause only those I really love will ever really know me. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told before the morning sun when life was lonely. Once I was 20 years old. Only see my goals, I don't believe in failure. Cause I know the smallest voices, they can make it major. I got my boys with me, at least those in favor. And if we don't meet before I leave, I hope I'll see you later. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. I was writing about everything I saw before me. Songs have been sold, we've traveled around the world and we're still roaming. Soon we'll be 30 years old. I'm still learning about life, my woman brought children for me. So I can sing them all my songs and I can tell them stories. Most of my boys are with me, some are still out seeking glory. And some I had to leave behind, my brother, I'm still savvy. Soon I'll be 60 years old, my daddy got 61. Remember life and then your life becomes a better one. I made a man so happy when I wrote a letter once. I hope my children come and visit once or twice a month. Soon I'll be 60.
presupposing that you don't get infected by some kind of coronavirus, really.
7 years old, Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old.
Lucas Graham, 7 years.
Once I was 7 years old.
Okay, moving on for the Midweek Drive in its brand spanking new format in which we socially distance, don't we, Zoe Jameson? We socially distance to the extent that I think we're about 200 miles between where we are at present. So that's nice. You know, we've maintained that.
It's a bit extreme, but yeah.
We can't take any risks, CJ. You know, we just have to work our way through that side of things. Anyway, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. All sorts of things happening. First question, Zoe, how is the veterinary profession, in particular the Royal Veterinary College, actually responding to this? Because I know in the recent message you sent me, animals are still getting poorly.
They are indeed. I am currently still on placement. Mm. Today is my final day of placement that I've been at for 4 weeks. So that's a bit strange, but... yeah, animals are still getting sick, and it's still busy here, so we're open and...
Good news, of course, that the fantastic record that you would have set in this year's London Marathon can never actually be beaten. You know, we do know that you will have won it in record time, and it's just because, you know, because all the training you were actually doing, I will go to my last breath to actually say, yeah, Zoe would have actually just smashed it, you know, quite literally, won it totally. So, you know, I mean, will you be thinking about doing it in October? Or is it okay? So you don't know where you're going to be in October.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be in October.
Yeah.
I definitely still want to run it. Mm-hmm. I just don't know when that is going to happen.
I suppose technically, because the streets of London are so empty these days, you could actually just run it as a solo, you know, just do it as a Zoe Jameson marathon, you know?
Well, I did consider just running it in April anyway, just by myself.
You might, Zoe, you might be arrested and then we'd have to bail you out and that would be all sorts of things there.
That's all sorts of drama we don't really need.
Oh, please, exactly. So how was what actually is shaping up to have been arguably the last hurrah when it comes to sporting festivals, the Cheltenham Festival? I mean, was it a case of when we got there on the Saturday, it was a case of, you know, big celebrations, or was it a case of we don't know what's happening? Because the racehorsing industry in general has been hugely decimated, as indeed have all sports, by Corona.
Yeah, they have indeed. I think Cheltenham was very lucky that it happened just before things got very serious here. So yeah, I think that was nice. Well, it was a good start to the show season, but... Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to continue.
No, I mean, looking ahead, and clearly the tragedy is, Zoe, we had so many sort of on-broadcast location reports that we'd scheduled in for you, hopefully to come along with the North of England Horticultural Society's Spring Flower Show. Obviously, that's gone. That's no more, so we can't sort of reciprocate where, of course, you made your debut with the Autumn Flower Show. the Countryside Links at Lincolnshire Showground, also gone from that point of view. Lots of indecision about the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and so on. And you know, that's before we even get to it. I mean, I did receive some stuff actually from the game fair in I think it's Warwick this year, I believe, that might still be going ahead. But I mean, obviously it can't if things develop, and interesting in certain times. What's the feeling in Northern Ireland? What are your parents all saying? Is it a case of stay away, Zoe, don't infect us? Or where is our place?
I think everything is a bit more heightened in Northern Ireland in terms of what's happening, because obviously the Republic closed their schools much earlier than we did. So I think that puts some added pressure on.
Yes, all those little children from the Republic sneaking across the border, infecting their Northern Ireland citizens.
I'm not really sure. I think it's impossible to predict, really, isn't it? We're just going to have to take it as it comes and do our best.
I mean, one of the things we've tried to do today is, as far as the United Kingdom is concerned, really cover that, so which is one of the reasons we started off with Ben Lewis in London. I mean, he's in Soho, Zoe, the crazy fool. What's he doing there?
I was watching his journey to work on Instagram yesterday.
Yeah,
he was keeping us all updated, yes. Which is very funny.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, that's why he's a midweek driver, Zoe. He likes to keep up with the standards you set. That's my feeling, you know. That's his way forward there. So Ben had his views. William Cole's obviously connected with us from Edinburgh. We then went over to Wales. So really, you kind of you've been representing the principality today, Zoe, in terms of the views from that point of view. And I think a fine job you do as a result of that. In fact, you know, certainly the DUP could actually learn a great deal from the impact that you can provide in terms of let's have Zoe Jameson as our Prime Minister. You get my vote. After all, you know, you have an unbeaten record with respect to the London Marathon because you would have won it, quite clearly. That's the message. So always work well for that. What is your thought for people who might be listening to this either on podcast or live? I mean, obviously we're on a Wednesday, we're changing things around a little bit as far as timings and slots are concerned. Do you have any particular thoughts you'd like to share at this moment? Because obviously things can change so much, we don't know. This might be the last time we ever speak. Oh, no!
Hopefully not.
No, indeed. Yeah. So allowing for that, what is your message for the globe, Zoe?
Well, I just hope everyone's keeping as safe as possible, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. And for goodness sakes, no matter how tempting it actually is, and actually I've got to ask this question, because I have a feeling when it comes to actually looking for additional lavatory paper roll, Charles might have his own secret stash and secret supply. Was he okay with this, or did he actually have twitchy moments and when you actually arrived for the Dubarry stand, did he say, Zoe, have you brought any toilet rolls?
Well, we didn't. I suppose we were all kind of living in this bubble at Cheltenham,
yes.
Because... I suppose you know firsthand the show circuit kind of is its own little bubble
it's the sort of self-isolating bubble, which was the phrase that was actually coined by our American correspondent, who hopefully is now back in the States. We haven't sort of found out as yet whether she's made it successfully, but Jessica Burtis, who coined the phrase sort of self-isolating bubble as a much more sort of positive way forward in terms of dealing with the sort of experiences we're having here. So, yeah, indeed, that sort of bubble of isolation.
So we were all kind of living in that last week, yeah. And then... everything kicked off last weekend, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, the important thing is we are still continuing these shows, even though we are obviously separated by about 80-odd miles. So that's fine.
Well, people in self-isolation are going to need some entertainment, aren't they?
I couldn't have put it better myself, Zoe. You know, this is one of the reasons why you are proving to be the star of the whole decade. It comes. We're not even into the 20s as yet, but, you know, whoosh, straight in there, you know, automatically. Someday, hopefully, we'll get back and do some location reports as well, but we'll just have to wait and see. Zoe, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have indeed, yes.
And obviously I need to ask these questions because if I didn't, there'd be just silence because there's nobody else actually in the studio at present. So I need to sort of... will you be returning? Will you come back? Can we connect with you again? Will it be a regular thing? Will you be back with us again next week?
Yes, hopefully. I mean...
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed that goes ahead. Yes.
Well, you know, that's all we can hope for, really, from that point of view. You finished your... I mean, actually, that's the other thing. As a student at the Royal Veterinary College, exams, final things from that, any plans? What's been happening as far as the college has been concerned?
We are trying to put plans in place currently, and, yeah, we're not quite sure what's going on just yet.
Have they offered you various sessions via the internet in terms of social distance? Because I think most universities, and obviously Lincoln being one of them, has gone to the stage where the solid recommendation is that to implement social distancing measures, we should be delivering stuff online.
Yeah, our university isn't running teaching anymore, and our exams are going to be online, I think. Mm.
Well, that's going to be interesting in terms of monitoring the whole sort of system, online exams, but what the hey? It's you, of course, have nothing to worry about, Zoe, because as we know, if you don't get first class honours, frankly, the world is just the world's gone crazy, you know? So we know that.
Well, the world has gone crazy, hasn't it, really?
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's a win-win situation. Exactly. It's good. Yeah, that's the important thing. Zoe, stay safe. We're going to wrap up in a few moments, hopefully by speaking to Eleanor Dean, who is at the other end of the scale. Literally, she's just coming to the end of her first year. Probably a memorable year it has been for Eleanor. She's based in Norwich, and who knows what excitement she'll be actually having from that point of view. Have you been doing some tea or some lunch whilst you, have you been making, I get a sense you've been doing some cups and saucers have been moving in the background there. It's just a case of, yeah, I'm a woman, I can multitask, deal with it. You know?
Oh yeah, I'm about to eat my lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Very hungry.
And so you should be, exactly. It's great. So, Zoe, we'll speak again soon. Fingers crossed. Take care and stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Will it be Robin Pierce? Will it be... Well, actually, it probably won't be Robin Pierce because he can't actually vote himself the most valuable contributor. I suppose he could, but yeah, maybe not. Will it actually be Kat Thomas? Will it be Chloe Rose? It's going to be Zoe Jameson. Maybe it's going to be our final contributor for the programme and this particular part of the Midweek Drive sequence, Eleanor Dean. How are you, Eleanor?
I'm well, thank you. I'm having fun being back at home in my room, not being able to go out many places.
Yeah, well, you know, we're socially distanced, and in case people are wondering, as we said, in terms of the mileage and so on, we're currently separated by around about 320 miles about 400 kilometres in terms of distance, so that's great. But more importantly, we spoke earlier about how people are actually coping and addressing things. I suggested that Chloe can consider some online virtual singing and so on. You have actually had, I believe, your first official webinar with the University of Lincoln, with Imke, one of our fine tutors there. How did it actually go? Would you like to describe it for the benefit of the listener who actually thought, webinar? How can students actually engage in this thing in a virtual sense? Surely they'll just actually switch the computer on and then go off and have a cup of tea.
You know what? I technology is amazing, isn't it? It was no different to a normal seminar other than the fact there was a slightly longer pause between questions being asked and answered. And quite often there was a bit of feedback from microphones. But other than that, you know, it's quite easy for people to hide behind their screens in a seminar. So we were asked questions and people, there was a long silence before someone finally pressed the button of raising their hand. It's very good though. It was very useful, and it felt like any other seminar really, which is exactly what you kind of want right now. It's just a bit of normality.
So, allowing for that, would you say this is the way forward? I no longer wish to actually engage with human beings at all, except through the modem of the interface of cyber technology.
As much as there's days when I feel like that, it's the way forward for me. I don't think I could go that long without ever seeing anyone again. I think I'm going slightly mad right now of not leaving the home for 4 days. So for a lifetime, no, definitely not. Ah,
okay. Well, I mean, 4 days, maybe 12 weeks. Of course, the schools actually formally close, or have closed from that point of view. And did you imagine this was likely to be emerging when you actually said, yes, now I'm starting my academic career at the University of Lincoln. All I really want is for a pandemic to break out and then my life will be complete.
It's not convenient, especially for the journalism ones. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for the arts courses, but for the journalism one, production-wise, it's hard to wrap your head around. But, you know, I feel like the university are handling it very well in regards to government, you know, advice, and everything's moving so quickly that I think a lot of people are getting frustrated that they're not getting told things immediately right now. But I think, you know, we've all got to remember to be patient, and no one really knows. There isn't a rule book for how to deal with coronavirus written just yet. So until that's written, you know, we're all just making our way day by day, aren't we? So.
Well, it's a thought. And of course, one of the things we had hoped that you'd be able to join us for your first official location report as a midweek drivette at the Great Yarmouth Sci-Fi Weekend. I don't think that's going to happen. Your dad, of course, looks after Norwich, Norcon, and so on. The one thing about science fiction conventions and so on is they can be noted for having a con flu, con lurgy, and so on. It does actually raise a number of issues in terms of that, in terms of the whole thing. Are you particularly concerned, or is it a case of, what the hey, bring it on, I'm a 21st century gal, and I can deal with it?
That's a tricky one. I think that's on top of the Norcom thing. He's all right. It's end of September, so the moment is still going. It's actually his birthday today, so happy birthday.
I was just going to say, maybe obviously by the time, it's going out live in parts of the world, but it's not going out in your part of the world, so it will be going, I mean, this just going through timey-wimey stuff, etc. It'll be Wednesday night, so if probably on Wednesday evening, I would say, let's see, assuming computer actually works its own magic, around about 6:40, you can actually formally actually wish your birthday a belated happy birthday, if of course you haven't actually wished him one already today. But then you might have socially isolated to such an extent that you said, I can't be doing with that. Anyway, happy birthday to Mr. Dean. That's all I say.
Yes, happy birthday.
Good.
As for the concerned, I don't know. There's moments when it doesn't quite feel real, and it then sinks in. I think a lot. The panic buying definitely worries me. I think it more worries me for other people's benefits, you know, the emergency services and the health workers and the elderly. Panic buying right now is such an issue, and I don't understand why. I think all the sensible about it, then, you know, there's nothing to worry about. But I guess it only takes one person to panic buy, and everyone else panic buys because of that. I have asthma, so I guess I'm slightly more concerned about, you know, making sure I wash my hands for the full 20 seconds and do all the proper movements and sing the national anthem and things like that. Obviously I've got my grandma, my dad's got underlying health conditions. So from that point of view, we are being quite cautious as a family. But I think it's just a case of everyone, you know, being sensible, following what the government say, and just, you know, washing your hands. Just wash your hands and cough into your elbows.
wash your hands and cough into your elbow. Interesting prescription for life, which is great. And you mentioned obviously panic buying on that side of things. What's the state of Norwich when it comes to hand sanitizer and toilet rolls in general? Have you gone crazy? Is there a kind of dearth on the supermarket shelves? Is it a case of, well, that's what happens with human beings? You know, ultimately, if you can give them all sorts of challenges, but if you take away their toilet paper, that's the end.
I don't understand the toilet paper panic buying. Really don't. Norwich is okay. There's a couple of shelves bare and empty, and I'd say it's definitely beginning to get to worrying levels of bare and empty. But at the moment, we're all right. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere anyway, and transport here is so
bad. You may say that. Ipswich Town people might say that, but you can't possibly sort of imply that Norwich is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's East Anglia, it's Canaries, it's all sorts of things there.
It feels like that, then. It feels like we're in the middle of nowhere. It's so quiet out here.
Well, I suppose after the metropolis, of Lincoln and the heady heights of the city of Lincoln in Lincolnshire, I mean, I suspect Norwich might be a little bit calm, but no, only kidding. So, Eleanor, how are you using the time? I mean, one of the things we've been asking all our contributors today, and you can obviously have a listen to the programme yourself, because unlike the normal case of Midweek Drivettes being in the studio and therefore getting a handle on all the programme, etc., in this particular instance, and indeed unlike an online seminar, we're still using the line that actually it's recorded. It's all recorded as live. We're putting that in there. So you'll have to wait and see what some of our other contributors have actually said. But what would your thoughts of positivity be in terms of any advice that you actually give to the listening folk around the globe?
Around the globe. Stay calm, stay clean, social distance if you can, and just remember there's light at the tunnel. If in doubt, bake. That's what I'm doing today, is that after finishing some work, me and my dad are going to bake, and then we are going to... we're just going to stick on some telly and chill. I think at the end of the day, you know, people just got to stay realistic and stay calm.
And any indication in terms of what you're baking? I mean, are you a competitive baker? Are you a case of, right, bring it on, this is going to be the equivalent to a kind of WWF breakdown slap-on challenge? You know, it's the Dean family going head-to-head with their bake-off scenarios.
You know what? I think that is an excellent idea. I've always wanted to go on Bake Off.
Well, here we are.
Out of reach at the moment, but...
I mean, we could indeed actually sort of, you could use the social media to put it online, and then I could get William Sitwell to actually give you a comment on the basis of what he actually sees, which is, there we are, just goes to show.
Fab.
There's always a way forward. And TV, anything that you're particularly looking for? Is it a case of I'm counting the hours until Disney Plus starts, or it's a case of no, I'll stick with Netflix or Amazon Prime or other series and streaming things that are available?
Oh, gosh. Saturday Night Takeaway is on tonight still. There's no audience. That's going to be odd, but I'm looking forward to that. A little bit of a pick-me-up, you know. You can't beat a bit of a... I think they've put out an email to everyone asking them to send in videos of them dancing in their home to then broadcast live. So I think my dad and my brother were getting to try for that.
Traditional terrestrial viewing there. And in case people are actually wondering, hang on, we're listening to this show on a Wednesday, how are you actually talking about Saturday when actually it's being recorded on a Friday? I don't know, you know, frankly. I don't know why it was. It could be Friday. In Eleanor Dean's mind, it's Saturday, so that's fine by me. You know,
I think by that point, if social distancing and everyone is social distancing, people would have forgotten what day of the week it is.
Well, this
anyway.
Is true, exactly. You know, I mean, there are 8 days a week.
I know I have.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning thinking it was a Thursday.
Anyway, we still have to sort of wrap around, and clearly, as there isn't anybody else in the studio, that may change. We don't know at present. We just have to wait and see. But for purposes of today, it forced me to actually throw the last two questions to you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting connection with us on the programme today?
I have, Alex.
And the next critical question, given that obviously, you know, there was a moment we thought, right, that's it, I'm off, see you in September, possibly, or not, as the case may be. Will you be back again and join us collectively with the whole thing? I mean, what you could do, of course, when it's released as a podcast, which will be very soon, you could also listen to that, because that's another couple of hours of audio entertainment, I like to feel, so you can get a sort of sense of it there. You see, say, oh.
Definitely, I recommend people do.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this particular moment in time, apart from the Almighty, I'm the only person who actually knows how the show's unfolds, how it's unfolded, and what actually bits are actually in there. And I can tell you, Eleanor, it's been quite a good show. That's all I'll say. It's been quite a good show. Yeah. So, will you return?
Yes. Yes,
yay.
I will.
That's what we like to hear.
If my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say she went down in an airplane, fried, getting suntan, fell in a cement mixer full of quicksand. Help me, help me, I'm no good at goodbye. She met a shark underwater, fell and no one caught her. I returned everything I ever bought her. Help me, help me, I'm all out of lines and ways to the sting. You were my everything. Someday I found a love like yours.
A love like yours.
She'll think I'm Superman, not Superman. Even how could you live on Yom Kippur? That's cool, but if my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say she was caught.
And 50 ways to say goodbye. Yeah, we still haven't sorted out that kind of collective. What's our final statement going to be for the day? Well, maybe I'll work it out in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the show. Thanks to our contributors today, of course. Starting off all those moments ago with Ben Lewis. Thanks to William Coles. Thanks to Robin Pierce. Thanks to Kat Thomas, Chloe Rose, Zoe Jameson, and of course Eleanor Dean. And thank you, dear listener, for being part of the whole sequence for however long. Don't forget you can listen to all again on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Great stuff coming on as well as Siren Radio is actually concerned. So stay tuned to that and stay safe, which I think is the best way to say au revoir and farewell. Be seeing you and stay safe.